Got some questions for Dr. Public over on your testimony. And again, we're having, we're passing out some exhibits that we'll be referring to and asking you to take a look at in your testimony. I want to just start with a couple of numbers. You gave some figures during your testimony about the percentage of this subalpine community that exists in the state of Maine. And your percentage is you were looking at the entire landscape in the state of Maine, right?
In terms of the 0.2%, yes,
right.
That's of the entire state.
And you agree that there are 40,000 acres of mapped habitat, and even if you take, assume 102 acres of impact from this project, which would be both direct and indirect, there would remain 39,898 acres of mapped habitat, correct?
Well, assuming your math is correct, yes.
And that would equate to less than 0.25% of the mapped community in the state, right?
If you give me a calculator, I'll trust your math.
Okay. And that percentage would go down if you took into account the unmapped community that everybody agrees exists in the state, correct?
It would go down a bit.
Okay. You agree that from a landscape level, this is an appropriate place for wind power development, correct?
At a landscape level?
Yes. Let me just make it simple. You supported the Kibbe project, which is 2.5 miles away, correct?
Yep.
You support the northern 8 turbines, which are immediately adjacent to the southern 7 turbines, correct?
Yeah.
You participated in the Wind Power Task Force, which specifically identified areas in the state of Maine that from a landscape level were appropriate for wind power development, correct?
Yes.
You participated in that process, right?
Yeah. I will grant that at a landscape level, yes.
And the outcome of that process was to encourage the siting of wind energy projects in the expedited permitting area, correct?
Yes.
This project doesn't implicate any of the hiking interests of AMC, does it?
No.
Okay.
Though AMC has broader interests, we also have paddling interests.
Okay. And you would agree that some level of impact to the subalpine forest is acceptable, right?
Some level, yes.
You're certainly not suggesting to this commission that this community is inviolate and it is so special that you cannot have any level of impact.
No, we even accept some impact in this project. The Turbine 8 would impact this project. There's probably an unmapped patch of this community on the top of Kibbe Range, on the order of tens of acres. We were not concerned about that.
And you've also supported projects with considerably greater level of impact to subalpine community, correct?
No.
Are you familiar with the Granite Reliable project?
I am.
You submitted testimony in that project?
Yes.
And that included turbines proposed for location on something referred to as Mount Kelsey?
Yes.
And that project ultimately included 37 acres of direct clearing impacts to a forest community size, about 226 acres in size, right?
Yes.
And that forest community, as described in your testimony, which I've provided to you as TransCanada Exhibit 9, you can turn to page 4 if you want, is one of the areas you describe. It included old growth?
Yes.
A rare, pristine, old-growth subalpine forest?
Yes.
Included expansive area of high-elevation spruce fir?
Yes.
It constituted high-quality habitat for 3 species of high conservation concern?
Yes.
Including the Bicknell's thrush?
Yes.
Including 2 species that were state-listed?
Yes.
You'd agree it was a higher value forest community than the one present on CISC?
I would.
And ultimately, you concluded in that project that the development would not constitute an unreasonable adverse effect on the natural environment, didn't you?
Yes, but I think we need to point out 2 things. We did not actually support that project. We withdrew our opposition, and that was following the negotiation of a settlement agreement with the applicant that was worth approximately $2.5 million in conservation value, would permanently conserve about 1,700 acres from both wind power development and timber harvesting, and would also provide, I believe, an additional $750,000 for additional land conservation. And even at that, that was not our preferred solution.
But you ultimately concluded that, and this is just direct impacts, 37 acres of direct impact was not an unreasonable, and I'm quoting, you can actually turn to your update testimony, which is where that conclusion is stated, on page one of your update testimony. You concluded, and I'm quoting, it would not constitute an unreasonable adverse effect on the natural environment.
That's because in combination with the, we believe that the benefits provided by the mitigation settlement agreement outweighed the impacts.
Okay. So then, returning to my point, it's not such a rare community that if the price is right, you can't have an impact to it.
If you want to protect 1,000 acres as mitigation for this, we'll reconsider our position.
Okay, well, that's good to know. I guess, you know, turning to that, you would agree then that as part of an assessment of whether an impact is reasonable or unreasonable, like AMC, the commission must undertake a balance of the benefits and the impacts.
Yes.
Okay. And it would be appropriate for them to do that here.
Yes.
And they would consider the significance of the community being impacted.
Yes.
And you agree that the community here is not as high value as the community impacted by Granite Reliable?
I would agree with that, yes.
And you would agree with Dr. Hudson's testimony that the community present on CISC doesn't share the level of diversity that's present in other higher elevation subalpine communities, correct?
What do you mean by the diversity?
Where you have mixing of the alpine and subalpine plant communities.
I would agree it's not as valuable as a mountaintop that also has alpine area on it, but that's a separate community.
But this community is not as diverse as other examples of
Again, what do you mean by diverse? Are you talking about number of species?
Plants. I'm talking plants, not animals.
I have no idea. I haven't seen plant lists for this as opposed to other
Okay,
natural
so you don't have an have an opinion on that.
It could very well be that this community has more mosses than the one on Mount Abraham. I have no idea.
There is a map attached to Dr. Hudson's pre-file testimony that gives the acreage impact to the subalpine community and shows the remaining unfragmented portions. Are you familiar with that?
You're referring to this map right here?
Yes. Does that give the acreage impact?
Yes.
And you would agree that the just bear with me while I get it, that there is a 73-acre contiguous area and a 183-acre contiguous area?
That's what the map says, yes.
And you would agree that those two areas would continue to function as a valuable subalpine community, correct?
To some extent, especially the northern one, I think a significant part of it would be impacted by edge effect, which would not occur if the project did not take place. So I think those 73 acres, parts of it will be different than it would be if the project wasn't there. So, but I don't think because of the project that subalpine fir forest is going to disappear from that location. No.
Okay, thank you. And you were asked by the commission about the concern of setting the bar too low. And you said there are a few areas in the expedited area located over 3,000 feet, correct?
I think there's a relatively limited number, yes.
So you would agree then that approving this project wouldn't set a significant precedent for potential other wind power projects being approved in high elevation areas, correct?
No, but it could set a precedent for other types of rare natural communities.
And you were also asked about other wind power projects that may have impacted subalpine communities. you're aware that forest harvesting activities often impact subalpine communities, correct?
Unfortunately, yes.
And you also asked a question of Dr. Hudson about how much, you asked him how much of the subalpine forest in the Boundary Mountains was protected.
Yes.
If this project did not go forward, that would not impact how much of the area were protected, correct?
That's correct.
Because this area wouldn't be protected, correct?
That's correct.
And you agree that as a result of, in part, your work on the Wind Power Task Force, that wind power is an allowed use in this area, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Nothing further for Dr. Publicover. I'm going to switch over now to Ms. Johnson. Ms. Johnson, you asked Mr. Titus, you read him a quote from the Flagstaff Management Plan, and at the time I didn't have a copy of it in front of me, and I'm not sure whether he did as well, but it was page 31, and do you have that still in front of you? And you asked him to read language from page 31.
Yep, I have page 31.
That referred to, overall, the draw of this area for most recreationists is its wild and scenic, quote, character. Do you recall that?
Yep.
You understand that this description in the Wildlife Management Plan refers to the entirety of the area that's subject to the plan, correct?
I do. It mentions Chain of Ponds specifically also in that paragraph.
And it also mentions specifically the Bigelows and Mount Abrams and the Appalachian Trail, correct?
Right. It's the whole Flagstaff region,
right,
which includes Chain of Ponds.
Right. But this was not a statement directed to the character of Chain of Ponds, correct?
Well, Chain of Ponds is one of the areas that this characterization
right.
addresses.
But it's not directed to Chain of Ponds. It's the entirety, which includes the Bigelows, the AT.
It's the entirety, including Chain of Ponds.
Okay. You're not a visual expert, right?
No, I'm not.
Okay, and so your testimony regarding visual impacts are just your personal opinion, right?
It's my opinion, but I was interested at Jim Palmer's statement in the Plum Creek proceeding that the limited evidence that they have of the accuracy of the visual assessments that have been done show that, in fact, they are similar to those done by laypersons.
And you would agree, you reference in your testimony the expectation of typical users, right?
That's right.
And you would agree that in evaluating the acceptability of a visual impact, it's important for the commission to consider the expectation of actual users, not hypothetical users, right?
I think typical users is actual users, and I think BPL speaks to that in their management plan when they talk about most recreationists looking for the kind of experience, primitive recreation experience there.
So,
the scenic.
Scenic, right.
Scenic.
You would agree this is not a remote wilderness area?
I would agree it is not a remote wilderness area.
And you would also agree that this is not a priority for land conservation for environmental organizations in the state, right?
I would not pretend to know what the priority for all land conservation organizations in the state is. I do know that that there's obviously public land at Chain of Ponds and that public land is often a magnet for further land conservation. And I know that the Arnold Trail folks are looking to do additional land conservation between the Chain of Ponds unit and north to the Canadian border. So I think there is, I know of those couple of limited things, and there may be much more that I don't know about.
Okay. I'm going to ask you to take a look at NRCM's pre-filed testimony in the Kibbe Project and direct you to page 5 of that testimony. And the, do you have a chance to find that?
I'm on page 5.
And NRCM's testimony in that case was that large portions of Kibbe Township have been actively cut over for timber, leaving the landscape largely fragmented. In part because of these factors, the area is not a known priority for land conservation organizations.
Well, that's different than Chain of Ponds Township that I was talking about.
Oh, okay. So you differentiate Chain of Ponds Township from Kibbe Township.
At the time that we did this, we were not aware of land conservation in that immediate area, which is what I think this testimony is referring to.
Okay.
I was answering your question relating to Chain of Ponds. There is a different area of impact between the Kibbe project and the Sisk project, which is one of the reasons that we have a different position on the Kibbe project and the Sisk project.
You're very aware that the Kibbe project at its closest location is approximately 2 miles from Chain of Ponds.
When the Kibbe project was done, the applicant unfortunately did not do any photo simulations. So,
Just because I have really limited time, I'm going to just ask you to yes or no answers, and if your counsel wants to have you elaborate, she can, on redirect. So
what was your question?
You're aware that the Kibbe project is within 2 miles of Chain of Ponds Township.
I don't know exactly.
NRCM also participated in the Wind Power Task Force, right?
Yes, Pete Dittesheim of our staff participated on that.
And you would agree that this area, the Sisk Ridge, is an appropriate area from a landscape level for location of wind power, right?
Generally, it is appropriate, yes.
Okay.
That's why it was. But that does not mean that every site within the expedited area is appropriate. It's just From a landscape level.
Broad planning level, it's an appropriate place for wind power.
Yes.
And NRCM has supported projects with greater visual impacts to scenic resources than the visual impacts that occur to Chain of Ponds, correct?
Well, I'm not sure what you're referring to. We've supported a number of projects.
Let me be very specific. NRCM supported the Black Knubble project, correct?
That's right, we did.
And you should have the testimony from NRCM and the Black Knubble proceeding in front of you. In that proceeding, that project included 18 turbines located between 3.31 miles and 3.96 miles of the AT, correct?
I was not involved in that project directly, and I'm not seeing that testimony here
it's
in this
exhibit,
package.
It's Exhibit G of the Reddington testimony.
Did someone give me a copy of the Reddington testimony? I believe I only have the Kibbe Farm wind farm testimony. Oh, okay, here we go. Sorry. Oh, that's hers.
But you can have it.
Well, okay.
You can even keep it.
Right. Sorry, what was your question?
Exhibit G identifies that project included 18 turbines within 4 miles of the AT.
Exhibit G?
I don't have an exhibit G. Okay. Well,
let me move on
while we try to get you the right exhibit. You would agree with NRCM's testimony in that case, and this is in the testimony in the Reddington proceeding at page 5, that this area is, quote, one of the most rugged and cherished stretches of the entire AT, providing a sense of remoteness and wilderness that is increasingly difficult to find east of the Mississippi. That was NRCM's testimony in the Reddington case. And then if you look at their testimony in the Black Knubble proceeding at page 17, NRCM concluded that Black Knubble would not cause, quote, undue adverse, close quote, visual impacts, correct?
You're on page 17? There is no page 17 in this testimony that I can see here.
Do you have the Black Knubble testimony?
I mean, this is an interesting colloquy, but we don't have that either.
Yes, you do. I'm sorry.
It's a Peter Dittesheim's testimony in Black Knubble. That's number 13.
13, okay.
Sorry about that. I don't.
Number 13?
Sorry, do you have it? Do you have it now, Kathy?
Could you tell me again what it is? Is it Exhibit 13, page 17 you're directing me to?
In the Reddington testimony at page 5 is NRCM's characterization of the resource.
Is that TransCanada Exhibit B?
It's 13. That should be a 13.
That's 13.
Oh, sorry, that's a 13, not a B. Okay.
No, this is what?
Reddington?
17.
I have three different things here that all...
The Reddington testimony is number 17. And the Black Nubble testimony is 13.
Okay. So what page were you asking me to look at?
So if you look at Exhibit 17, which is the testimony in Reddington, and you look at page 5 is NRCM's characterization of that visual scenic resource. No, Exhibit 17 at page 5.
Okay, I'm with you. Exhibit 17, page 5.
Missing pages. Is it on your copy, Kathy?
I have Exhibit 17, page 5.
In which NRCM characterizes that area as the most rugged and cherished stretch of the entire AT, providing a sense of remoteness and wild wilderness that is increasingly difficult to find.
Yes.
Okay.
I see that sentence.
And then NRCM subsequently testified in Black Nubble, which is TransCanada Exhibit 13 at page 17, that the project would not cause undue adverse visual impacts, correct?
Yes.
So as I understand NRCM's position, 18 turbines located within 4 miles from the most scenic portion of the Appalachian Trail meets LIRC's visual standards, but 15 turbines located within 4 miles of Chain of Ponds does not, correct?
I think this illustrates how difficult it is to evaluate visual impacts. It's not
testimony, right? That's your position. That 18 within 4 miles of the most scenic portion of the AT meets the review standards, but 15 within 4 miles of Chain of Ponds does not meet the visual impact
part
standard.
Part of the Black Nubble proceeding included permanent protection of the top of Reddington Mountain, which provided very high quality habitat, and also had very significant impacts, would have had very significant impacts on the Appalachian Trail. So that was also a factor. So there were multiple factors.
But the reality is that the 18 turbines within 4 miles meets, NRCM's position is, meets the scenic impact standard.
Combined with the permanent protection of the top of Reddington Mountain.
So your only objection here then is with respect to mitigation, right?
No, that's not true. As I said, different resources are different, and you have to analyze them separately. The AT is undoubtedly a very important resource of scenic and recreational importance to the state. Also, are 7 lakes that have been designated outstanding for their scenic character by the Maine Wildlands Lakes assessment, as well as the Arnold Trail. We also have the Scenic Highway, so there's a different grouping of scenic resources. So I don't think it's appropriate to measure one against the other. I think the question in each case is, do they meet the standards that LIRC or the legislature has set for scenic impact? That's the question.
Yes, and I think we understand your testimony in both projects. Thank you.
Juliet, close are you? Are you okay?
Thank
All
you.
Right. Thank you.
I'm sorry for the confusion on the exhibits.
That's okay. All right, I guess we're ready for cross-examination by the Friends of the Boundary Mountains.